Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here.
Yeah, man, you are here. Big week for video games, Mason.
I know, right?
We're going to be talking Warcraft.
Yep.
We're going to be talking E3.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking other news stories leading up to those things.
Oh.
And then we'll do the What We Reading segment.
Oh, yes.
And then we'll do letters.
Yep.
Which is it? Which is actually tweets.
Yep. Then we'll thank everybody we're supposed to thank, and we'll always forget at least one person.
That's right.
And then I'll feel bad for a week. And then I'll come around, I'll be like, I'll be sure to thank that guy, and then I thank that guy. And then I'll forget somebody else, and the cycle will continue forever.
Every show before the show, you're like, did we thank that person last week? You always ask me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's start with a major Justice League announcement.
Okay.
Impending.
So we don't know what it is yet, exactly, right?
Okay, a whole lot of journalists.
This is the movie.
The movie, yeah. Yep. A whole lot of journalists were flown to London or got to go to London. I don't know where they paid for it themselves.
They were flown to London for nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope they all paid for themselves.
And we didn't get an invite, weirdly enough. Does that mean we're not journalists or we're not big enough or both? Which is it?
I think we determined like many, many episodes ago that we're part of the indie... Like, we're the indie new media movement. We're not Sweet. Part of the establishment.
Yeah.
So we're cool.
Right.
We're cool.
But we can't think we're cool.
Don't think we're cool, though, right?
That's yeah. right.
But we're not the fat cats.
Yep, yep.
Just lounging about.
Going a bloody
I
Justice
mean, we
League.
Are fat and lounging about, but we're not.
We're not the metaphorical fat cats.
Yeah, we're literal fat, fat men lounging about.
We look after ourselves. You enjoy
know, right?
Diet Coke.
You know, right?
Wait,
so what was it? We don't know what the announcement is.
We don't know.
Is.
It's going to be announced on Tuesday.
What do you think it is?
It's probably like a set photo, but we're like, look, it's the entire Justice League. This
yeah,
is the
it'll be,
it
because we didn't...
You know what I think it really is?
What's that?
Damage Control. That's what I think
Oh,
it
it's
is.
Almost certainly that, yeah. Like, because it wouldn't be Zack Snyder's out, because that they
no,
wouldn't...
No, it's too far in. That could never have happened.
And also, yeah. like, they wouldn't have a press conference for that. They just throw it out on a Friday
yeah.
afternoon or something, so yeah, nobody yeah. would notice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be. I reckon it'll
they
be.
They just throw Zack Snyder out of a plane on a Friday afternoon.
Right. I think it'll. Yeah, I think it'll be everybody in full costume, maybe.
Yeah, potentially.
Or it might be an additional.
Oh, an additional member. Like yeah. we might get a Green Lantern reveal or.
Yeah,
or something like
maybe
that.
Just yeah.
Do you think so? Batman v Superman just finished up a cinematic run and it ended up getting like $330 million in the US.
Uh huh.
Avengers over 12 weeks. Avengers crossed 400 over, not Avengers, sorry, Civil War over its 6-week run that it's
oh,
had
yes.
so far.
Uh-huh.
And Deadpool is now at like 336 domestic huh. as well. So they wouldn't be entirely happy with it. So I'd imagine this is like Justice League is it's like a year and a half away or something uh-huh. like that. Maybe 2 years. I don't know.
Here's our new plan. All movie tickets are going to be $47 to the next one.
That being said, I was
if you don't pay, you're a hater.
I was reading some stuff about the extended cut, which I was like, how can they kind of fix the stuff that I don't particularly like? I didn't hate everything,
yeah.
but one part
but
is...
But if you liked or hated everything, it's fine, it's cool,
yeah.
but you're wrong.
If you hated everything, it's fine, or it's not fine?
If you hated everything, that's fine too.
Okay,
yeah.
cool.
But if you loved everything, that's cool, but you're wrong, but it's fine.
So one of the things that I read, I didn't go through all of it because I want to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So
potential. And reading is difficult and makes a head hurt. Just
ugh. But
just give me a pithy clip on the internet. Some yellow text over the
top. Absolutely, that's all you need.
So fresh.
But it was Superman, you know how he gets blamed for that terrorist act at the start of the film?
Yeah.
Apparently, Kellen Mulvey's character burns all the bodies, so it looks like it's heat vision.
Right,
so that's one line they probably should have included.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you think that, well, Superman doesn't riddle people with bullets, so it probably wasn't Superman.
I would have loved a scene of just Kellen Mulvey and he's just pouring petrol on bodies and he's just whistling while he works.
He does look very sinister, doesn't he?
Yeah. But yeah. I would just want to see a man enjoying his job, you know?
Absolutely. Even if you're a sociopath.
Hey, speaking of justice and injustice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see they released 15 minutes of gameplay footage?
Yeah, what'd you think?
It looked pretty good. I mean, it looked quite bare bones.
Yeah.
But I guess that's A, because it's not finished yet.
Right.
And B, because they want to hold on to some secrets.
Definitely,
but apparently, like, the big reveal of, like, the game changer is they're going to have a gear system in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time you win a battle, you get an extra thumb cover or something like that.
Right.
But I don't know. Like,
for gouging eyes.
Yeah, but I assumed, like, based on the cinematic trailer we got, that it was going to be like you could switch modes and you could be armored or non-armored.
Oh, right.
It seems to be that it's just...
It's a leveling up.
You get the gear and then in between matches you change your loadout.
Is that a multiplayer thing or is that a single player?
That's the thing. Like, apparently there's going to be some sort of, like, if you want to play multiplayer, that's going to be the single player option. But apparently for multiplayer, they're going to have some sort of, they haven't quite worked it out yet, but it's going to be like, if you just want, if you can build up your character and then kind of go into a ranked match.
Right.
Like, I guess there might be a point system where you go, okay, this person has 100 points of bonuses. We'll pit you against somebody else with 100 points of bonuses, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also if you just want to start out and play, they'll rank you somehow. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
But the reason I mentioned it is because they all have dialogue before they start a match.
Yes.
And there's Gorilla Grodd versus Superman. Mm. And Superman says, I ruled this world once. I'll do it again.
Oh, so it is.
So that's the Superman, that's the Injustice Superman. So that's,
and Grodd says, you're a real prick.
I'm a monkey. This is ridiculous.
What am I doing here?
I'm a psychic monkey.
I mean, he's a gorilla, but somebody will tweet you.
I know. He doesn't have a tail. He's a gorilla. I get it.
I've heard that the dialogue for that is really diverse. Like, there's like hundreds.
There's like a thousand, thousands of combinations.
It.
Sorry, yeah.
It's better than someone turning up and going like, I'll be the best. And the other person goes, maybe I'll be the best. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's good that it's specific.
Yeah. But I mean, it looked pretty good. I'm probably going to enjoy the storyline. I'm going to enjoy the spin-off comic.
Now
it looks kind of bare bones. Yeah, so we mentioned it last week. I remember I didn't finish the thought. I'm pretty sure this is going to be set solely in the Injustice universe.
Yes.
There's going to be a plot line. There's going to be like they're rebuilding the world plot line.
Mm.
But I think maybe they're going to be like put into some sort of arena battle.
Right.
Like some sort of fire pits of apocalypse kind of scenario.
Like a Darkseid
or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
Because I think in the cinematic trailer, it's like every time you go into the pit, you become a better fighter unless you die, because then you're dead. It's not a good fighter.
What's the gorilla, what's he doing here?
It's a gorilla here. What's going on? What's happening? Anyway, that's my thought on that.
Right, cool.
Unless I actually did say that last week, in which case
you may have. Doesn't
matter. Or I said something different.
Tell
last
you what
week
I'll do, guys. If you did, I'll go back and I'll edit it out and I'll re-upload it.
Great.
I'll definitely do
good.
That that's priority number one.
Fantastic, thank you.
Also, they mentioned that there'll be no invisible jet for this incarnation of Wonder Woman.
Oh, boo.
Is that something that upsets you?
Yeah, well, it doesn't upset me, but I mean, I'd like to see
you are crying quite a lot.
That's right.
I think that, you know what? I understand why they're not. I completely get it. That being said, there is a way you can do it. You can just say it's stealth, it's tech.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you don't have to say it's magic.
I mean, in the Marvel Universe, everybody's got stealth technology.
Yeah, that's
it's
right,
just
yeah.
that flippity floppity
system.
Like that tile situation where the tiles all flip over and it's invisible.
That's
right,
exactly.
No, I like the idea. Just give me some comic book stuff. Invisible Jet. I like the Invisible Jet.
Okay.
I mean, there's been different versions over the years. For a while, she had like a shape-shifting one.
Oh, really?
It was like a hair clip or something like that, and she threw it out and it kind of morphed into an Invisible Jet.
Okay. In the animated version, it was just a dotted line around a floating woman.
Yep, that's
if you
right.
remember correctly.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even have to be invisible. It could just be like...
Be visible.
It could be a visible jet. But I think like... In this world of the Kryptonian technology and what have you, you could just have kind of like a crystalline ship.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's clearly, you can see it, but it is like somewhat transparent.
Sure.
I think that would work.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So that means you can see the people in there just kind of walking around, going to the toilet,
exactly.
whatever they're up to.
Sure. Great. That's toilet facilities, this one.
It's not even a big deal whether it's there or not to me.
Yeah,
I mean, I think this is something that could change down the line.
Yeah, and also, most versions of Wonder Woman can fly.
That's right.
So most versions of Wonder Woman don't really need an invisible jet.
No. It's
like when they give the Flash a the action figure of the Flash a motorcycle. Yeah. He can move at superhuman speeds. Why he doesn't need a motorcycle?
Because it's cool. Unless he thinks it's cool.
And he's, oh boy.
There we go.
Look at that nerd on his motorcycle.
Tyler Hoechlin, though.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
I've been pronouncing it Tyler Hoechlin.
Let's just do that then.
Hoechlin.
Hoechlin. I've spelt it wrong here, so this may be why. Whatever his name is, that bloke.
That guy, yeah.
He's been cast as Superman
in Supergirl.
Supergirl. The people were saying, we even speculated last week, Tom Welling.
Mm. Well, we didn't speculate it. Other people speculated it, and then we just jumped on it.
We echoed that.
We're like, we could do some original research, or we could not do any research.
Yeah, that's right.
And Tom Welling could do with the work, I assume.
No doubt. Now, this guy, and I actually just double-checked this before we started.
Oh, we'd miss out on a scene where Dean Cain and Tom Welling meet, and then they're like...
You don't think that could still happen, though? Like, maybe Tom Welling plays like a version of Cyborg Superman or something?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's possible. Yeah. I think it would be unlikely if this show keeps going that Tom Welling never turns up.
That's true.
I think that would be very odd
if
that didn't happen. What was I going to say? So, this guy...
Oh, what if Tom Welling was Zod?
No.
Really?
He's not sinister enough. He's got like that boyish face.
Maybe he had a little
goatee.
Maybe that's the key, though.
If he had a little goatee.
That's what I'm talking about.
A pointed goatee.
Or mutton chops.
That would also work, I guess.
But I think maybe we want a different. We can get a different characterization of Zod. Maybe
boyish Zod.
Boyish Zod.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
anyway, nice. Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah, he nearly. Well, not nearly. He was rumored to be Batman at one point.
It was on that list.
Yeah, yeah.
It was on that list with
Army
Hammer.
I mean, everybody was on that list.
Yeah.
So, I just wonder how far that actually got in.
Hammer.
Yep.
A box of Armand Hammer. Baking soda.
Baking soda. I know what it is.
Surely that's the origin of his name.
I don't know.
It's got to be, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but...
But I mean, it's weird that it's a...
It's a weird name in general.
It's one of those names that would pop up, like, on Facebook. Like, somebody's made a list of funny names.
Right, yeah.
It's like, and then it's a box of baking soda next to him. It's like... You know? Do you think people called him Soda in high school?
He's pretty big.
Yeah, okay, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe his jock mates, maybe, called him that. Yeah,
Soda,
Oh, no, it's a bit of... I don't think teens are up with baking soda brands.
So. I guess that's probably true. All right, if he grew up in the 30s, they would have called him Soda.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think of the casting anyway?
It looks good.
He looks good enough.
Do you think, because every photo I've seen of him, he's got the 5 o'clock shadow.
Right, yeah.
Do you think they're going to leave that in?
No.
Do you want to?
Oh, depending on what the state of him is when he turns up.
Drunk.
Then yes, flicking peanuts in a bar like Superman 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's possible. It depends on what version we're getting here.
Yeah.
Like, how far has he been? How long has he been Superman? Is he been on Earth much? You know what I mean? Like, what is all this?
What if he's like, what if his trick in this is the reason nobody recognizes him? He's got, as Clark Kent, he's got the stubble.
Right.
Heat visions it off. Yeah. Superman grows it back real fast when he becomes Clark Kent
just
again.
Just tenses his face.
Just really make it really irritating for him. And the makeup
continuity.
Artist and the continuity guy and the people who have to arrange the shooting schedule.
Yeah.
That would be good,
I think. That would be great.
Mm.
I tell you what, having a heavy...
And he rocks up one day and he's like, here we go, freshly shaved Superman scene. And they're like, no, this is a Clark Kent scene. He's like, oh, they have to open the box of like stubble.
I'd imagine it's just...
stubble in a can.
It's just glue and like shaved dog hair. They just... Put the glue on and just throw a fistful at him.
Yeah,
just
whatever hits.
Face. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shaved dog hair does make you cool. So. As long as you don't think about it. Don't think about it.
So we've got some people rumored to have, or maybe confirmed, I think so, actually to have joined the Spider-Man Homecoming movie, which is due out next year. Martin Starr, one of them.
That's right.
Love him. Party Down. Silicon Valley, which you not really into.
I steadfastly refuse to watch.
That's good.
You know what? The first couple episodes didn't grab me. I'll come back.
I really enjoy it.
What is good about it, though?
It's very funny. It's
a lot of things are very funny. This podcast. Other things.
It's certainly funny.
This podcast is certainly a combination of funny and informative. What levels? Who's to say?
That's up to you, the listener.
If you've never heard a joke before and you've never heard of any of the things we mention on this podcast, it's funny and
it's probably great. It's probably like, you know, when you see the remake of RoboCop before you see the original and you're like, this is a pretty good idea.
Hmm.
This is an A+.
Hmm.
This is not an A+. What are we doing? Martin Starr. Yeah, it's great. And it's really, I like the kind of insight into the tech world, and they kind of take the piss out of it and all that. It's cast really well.
Mm-hmm.
I know you should watch it. The other one was Logan Marshall Green, who you might remember as Ryan's brother from the OC.
No. Okay. I don't remember any of the names Trey? You just said, and I don't remember that character.
Okay, he was the guy who...
Was he in Phantom Planet? Because that's the only thing I remember. I remember the theme song. I remember that. And then Adam Brody was in Thank You for Smoking.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Was he like the up-and-coming Thank You for Smoking
kind of,
guy?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
He was also in Prometheus. He's the guy who David puts...
Wait, Adam Brody or the other guy?
No, the other guy.
Okay,
David puts the alien goo in his drink, and then he's like...
Oh, I don't remember what he looks
like. He looks like the poor man's Tom Hardy.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually pretty good.
So like everybody in the CW.
Yes.
Great.
And the other one is Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah.
Now, people are saying...
Could be Miles Morales.
If he is, it's possible.
But then he would be older than the current Spider-Man.
Exactly. So it would be a change to the continuity, which Marvel aren't unaccustomed to doing. I'd imagine if I was them, they're thinking long-term, and they're thinking, look, as soon as the current Spider-Man maybe wants to step away in 5 or 6 years, that's when you introduce Miles Morales.
Correct.
So you hang on to him until you need him. Yes. That's how I would do it.
Me too.
If I was in charge of anything, which I'm not and never will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, right. Because we're too sensible, if
that's
anything.
That's right. Somebody said Robbie Robertson. You remember him. He was in the first
Yeah, I know,
Spider-Man
I remember,
movies.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
remember
yeah.
him.
Yeah, totally.
He's a guy who's like, Spider-Man's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like maybe he'll be like a cool teacher. Because he's too old now to be young Miles Morales.
Correct, yes.
Because he's 33,
and
maybe.
And it's too... It would be weird if they introduced parallel universe.
Mm.
I mean, you just did a video on like a Spider-Verse series. But I think it's too... Because if they introduce parallel universes in a Marvel Studios film, I'd be like, that's okay. That, you know, we'll that's a really complicated wrinkle, and we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But if they introduced it in kind of... Because Spider-Man Homecoming is still a signed movie. Like, it's a Sony Pictures movie.
True, yeah.
With Marvel's approval on it.
Yeah.
But if you introduce parallel universes, then people will be like, well, why haven't you put parallel universes in the Avengers movies?
I think it's something... I should have specified this in the video, because the video was basically, I'd be interested to see a Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield... what's the new kid's name?
Tom Holland,
Spider-Man movie. And I should have said
Gwen Stacy?
Yeah, and Gwen Stacy. But I should have said like 3 or 4 movies down.
Yeah, okay.
Because you need to establish the Spider-Man. Don't complicate it straight off the bat like Sony have had the tendency to do.
Sure.
So I probably should have specified that. But no, that is something I would like to see. But you like they're slowly building to magic and the
like. Yeah, right.
You'd slowly build to dimensions. Mm. That being said, you wouldn't need to introduce Miles Morales in an alternate dimension. You could just be like, he's the up-and-coming kid Spider-Man.
Yeah, I thought more in the sense of if you wanted to introduce Donald Glover as like an older version.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Him,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
I've come from a parallel universe to warn you about blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't want to see none of that, Mason.
Yeah.
I'm against that.
Mm.
Oh, unless it's done well, in which case I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I'm against
it. Do we want to talk about the Spider-Man PS4 game? We want to do it later?
Well, why don't we do all that now?
Okay,
I've got
cool.
a list of vaguely relevant announcements that we can talk about for E3.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Video games are obviously not our area. That being said, let's bloody crush this.
Yeah,
let's knock it out of the park.
Let's do better than every video game podcast. They're aware of things.
They're on the pulse.
They've played
games. They have
games
all the consoles.
Recently. Yep.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Batman VR. It's actually Batman Arkham.
That's right, yeah.
So it's like all the VR games that were revealed. It's like a short-ish kind of chapter that you play.
Mm.
Now, it's set in the Arkham universe. It's Rocksteady are doing it, which is great.
Okay, great.
And by the sounds of the people who have played it, it's very good. Like you play as Batman and you're in his perspective, and it's like a detective. You kind of
got your detective vision.
Yeah, exactly, and all that bizarre.
Do you think there's going to be any actual detecting though? Because if anything, the detecting has gotten worse.
Yeah, it has, hasn't
it? Over the course of these games.
That's actually one thing that what was the one that Rocksteady didn't do? The Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
They did the detective stuff quite well.
But
you
I
remember
th-
the
yeah.
one you rewind a crime
No, I remember
scene.
That, but I don't think there was really no detecting in it. Like there was no gathering of clues. It was just you turn on the detective vision, you look at one thing, and then it beeps or whatever, and then it points you in the direction of it, and you just move to the
That's
next thing.
Point,
and then
actually,
you just
So you
I mean, it was an interesting mechanic, but there was no actual I would have much preferred if See, and that's the thing, that's the dilemma where you want the game to flow properly.
Yeah.
But you if you go, okay, well, here's a newspaper clipping and it mentions this person.
Yeah.
So now you have to go and find that character. I think maybe a lot of people would never make
that connection. Yeah.
And then
I guess you'd have to just have Alfred in your ear to be like, Master Bruce, maybe you should
check that out. I guess maybe if you could, like, if there's a clue,
yeah,
and it, you know, it mentions, you know, it's a newspaper clipping and it mentions some mob boss or something like that.
Mm.
Then you could just go, okay, well, now I have to go through the street, maybe, you know, find a thug and interrogate him and ask him where that person is and then find it. But if you didn't, and you could just do that on your own.
Right.
But if you didn't know, if you were stuck, you could then call Alfred and he could tell you that.
Yeah, it could be like, listen, I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, mate.
Mr. World's Greatest Detective, but if you maybe just follow a real basic clue. So I guess if you went into it as you might have to do some sideways thinking here and do some detecting, that we're really going to focus on that, but there's help if you need it.
The trailer doesn't actually tell you much. It's just like a bit of a teaser. You see the cowl. So it's kind of like, you're inside the cowl or whatever. But you know what? Also, the detecting in Batman, the comics, isn't always great.
That's true.
A lot of the times he's found an enzyme and he goes home and he puts it in the computer and it's like, this is from Joker toxin or whatever.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's
And there's
true.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But how does that translate into a game? What, you go home and sit in front of a computer in a virtual world.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what
and
I
you
mean?
Connect enzymes Tetris style.
Yeah.
Or Bejeweled style. So how long is this game going to be? Is it tech demo? Is it like an hour long and then it's finished? Or
I couldn't.
That's,
I don't know.
That's also another thing I wonder about with these VR games.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are kind of glorified tech demos.
Yeah.
Is it just kind of...
I like the idea of a snapshot game where it's a... Say it's an hour or a couple of hours, but it's a really well-crafted cinematic experience. And maybe you pay $20-$30 for it as opposed to $60, $70 for a full game.
Sure.
I like the idea of that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that is a concern that, like a lot of this stuff, it's just kind of, you know, like Wii Sports and Wii Bowling, like it just becomes all that kind of...
That's true.
Kind of
also,
shit.
Have you written down Telltale are releasing a Batman game?
Yeah,
well?
No, I got that here. Yeah. I've never played any of them. People constantly... I like to play Walking Dead, you play Game of Thrones.
And Fables.
Fables as well,
one.
Yeah. I should.
Yeah, but I mean...
But I haven't.
Sure, but I mean, for me, this if we're talking detecting, I think if anything, this is going to be
the Batman game
where it's like, this isn't going to be action-paced, this is going to be...
Enzymes.
Yeah, enzymes. You got to. You're pointing and you're clicking and you're finding enzymes.
Another VR thing that...
Did I mention the Batman Returns PC game? Which was a point-and-click adventure. I mentioned it last week.
Boo!
No, it was great.
I say boo.
Yeah, it was bad, now that I think about it. But, I mean, good on them for breaking out of the mold.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Star Wars VR was another thing, which is to do with Battlefront, where they were like... And there was a big Star Wars reveal, actually, which we can also briefly talk about. But you're in an X-Wing cockpit, and you do an X-Wing mission.
Great.
That, to me, is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, you know,
Trench runs.
Mon Calamari Cruises. Yeah, no, that's cool. That being said, I'm not going to pay... It's $3.99 for the VR thing, for a thing that might... Look, I think there's a very good chance VR will take off.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get the PlayStation Move because I'm like, was this really going to be anything?
Right.
And
also, you need the space.
Yeah,
you need the space to walk around. I guess, no, but you don't...
You can sit, you can just...
Yeah, you don't with Star Wars. Yeah.
No, I mean, and the Star Wars VR X-Wing thing, that's kind of the perfect...
Would you play Star Wars VR Mos Eisley Cantina? And it's just you chopping limbs off?
Yeah. Or just tugging on bartender sleeves and ordering blue milk.
Yeah, so
good. Yeah, definitely. There was also the Resident Evil 7.
I didn't see it.
I actually downloaded it because if you have PlayStation Plus or whatever it is, you get the demo. So I downloaded it. It fucking freaks me right out, man.
Oh, really?
I don't play a lot of horror games. And horror games aren't really horror games anymore. The Resident Evil games are just running and gunning now.
That's true, yeah. They started off, You had
a weird box-shaped head.
Yep. And like, it was Resident Evil Silent Hill and like...
Yeah.
And those... And did you ever play Alone in the Dark?
Which I did. I know.
Many years.
Yeah.
I think it was rebooted a couple of times recently.
Yeah.
But I mean, they started out as... You are one person against this, all these monsters, and you had to run and hide more than anything. And now they're just like, you're fighting zombies and they got rocket launchers on
them. Save the president's daughter.
Exactly.
That's from 4. That 4 kind of changed that. But 4, I thought, was a really good balance of horror and action. And then 5 and 6 were just like madness.
5 was the one in Africa?
Yes. 5 was the one where you fight the giant
slug,
bat.
A flying slug bat thing. Yeah, I remember that one. I played that one.
So the demo, like, it's first person, and you wake up in this creepy house, and the, you know,
it's first person.
It's VR, man.
Yeah, I get it.
But I don't have VR, so yeah. I just use my television.
Oh.
But I'm walking through this house, and there's a bit where you walk up the stairs.
So when you turned your head, you just saw, like, pot plants.
That's right, yeah.
Dishes. Great. That adds to the ambiance of anything.
Certainly.
Oh, look at this resolution on this pot plant.
It's almost like I could touch it.
Mm.
But
put this in my inventory. Walking around with a
stuff
pot plant.
Stuff it in your pants. Mm. Yeah. So I walked up these set of stairs and there's mannequins. There's like three mannequins against the wall. And I went to the table and had a look around. I turned around.
Yes.
And one of them had moved.
Oh.
So I was standing right in front of me. And I nearly hit the fucking roof, man. Like, see, I just did not. Maybe I'm just... I was playing it late at night or whatever. Like, it was a cool demo.
Oh, yeah. Lots of excuses as to why you're a fraidy cat.
I think I'm just a fraidy cat. Maybe I am. But no, it was very cinematic and very, very kind of not cinematic. It was just very creepy.
And is this a change in tone from all the
Yeah, well, it's not like any of the other Resident Evil games that we've had.
You didn't have a gun.
No.
Hmm.
You pick up an axe,
yep,
a hatchet, but you can't really do anything with it.
Is this the same team that's done all the last?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Because do you remember when Hideo Kojima, the Metal Gear Solid
guy... That's
what
we can talk about, yeah.
He was going to do a Silent Hills game.
Yes.
It was him and Guillermo del Toro. Yep. We're going to collaborate. There was
Norman Reedus was going to be in it.
That's right. There was a demo that was released.
Yes.
And it was this weird, mysterious... It was set in a house and it was...
It was very reminiscent of that.
Yeah, and it was like... And here's the reveal. It's going to be Silent Hills. And then it's like, actually, we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Kojima got fired?
Yeah, him and Konami. Konami are notoriously terrible with staff. Like, they are just a horrendous place to work, by all accounts.
Sure.
So they had a massive falling out, but Hideo Kojima's now with Sony.
Okay.
And then he's doing Death Standing, which is like his new... Norman Reedus is in it. There was a trailer released where he's...
Norman Reedus or a Norman Reedus
actually
look-alike?
Norman Reedus, because he was going to do the last one.
Yeah, okay.
And they got cancelled. And he's... holding a baby and he's naked. I don't understand it. It was a weird trailer, but
right.
Yeah, I guess I'm excited for that. People love his storytelling. I think it's
Hideo Kojima.
Confusing.
They do, but at the
same
time...
He's good at crafting a world.
He's good at crafting a weird, problematic world, I think. Like, there's some weird stuff in those games.
Yeah, sure.
There's some very odd things.
Yeah, but he's responsible for some terrific like leaps forward in gameplay. I mean, you look at all the stuff that the... Metal Gear Solid Gear games did for, you know, for stealth and shooting and all that kind of
stuff. That's true, yeah.
And like naked Raidens running around the...
That's true, yeah.
The compound or whatever.
Yeah. South
Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Yes.
You watched the trailer for that. It's like Civil War-esque...
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, The Fractured Butthole. And you're like, what?
I didn't even twig at all.
Huh.
But now that I'm reading it right in front of you, because I wrote it down, I'm like, of course, like, I can't believe I didn't say that.
Mm.
But
it's not, that's not a clever joke, surely.
It's a pretty good joke, Mason.
Mm, well, it is subtle.
Yeah.
Gets past those senses.
got past me.
Mm.
There's been a last South Park game, the Stick of Destiny.
Destiny, yep.
Yeah, which was very well received. And this is like a spin.
Wait, Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth, sorry, yeah. I think a pick of Destiny. That's
Destiny. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one is like a,
This is their take on superheroes.
Yes, their Civil War, their Marvel Universe. But a lot of people have sent through that, you know, the whiteboard of all the ideas.
Oh, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Spin-off movies, solo movies, team movies, Netflix series, and all that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
This isn't something that I will play.
Yep.
But, you know, looks a lot
is
of
is that
looks
so?
Fun.
At this point, what of South Park is like CG footage? And what is hand done? Do you know?
I don't know if they hand do any of it anymore.
Okay, right.
I don't think there'd be no point in doing that. That would be the long road. And the speed in which they turn the episode.
Churn is always a bad.
Yeah, I know. Right?
You're going to say churn.
I said turn.
Yeah. When was the last time you watched an episode of South Park?
Long time. That being said, whenever I see it, I do enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
I was forgetting what it's on.
But my because this particular trailer, does this represent in-game footage?
Yes.
It does, okay.
Yeah. It's I mean,
and is it being generated as we watch it, or is it?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think it would really matter.
Because the last one looked exactly like
this. And the seen from the gameplay that I've seen of this, it also looks.
Okay. Exactly what is the gameplay?
You know, it's kind of an RPG, but it's sort of semi side scrollery, but you can kind of go into the foreground.
All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, and you create a new character and.
Do they have actual superpowers, or are they just.
No, I don't
okay,
know.
They hold
maybe, but
throwing plunges around and stuff.
Yeah, all that bizarro. Xbox is doing a thing.
Now Project Scorpio or Scorpion or something?
I don't have an Xbox. I didn't watch the conference. Right. What are they doing?
I think soon nobody's going to have an Xbox. Because, I mean, the number one thing is that they're going to do...
Cross-platform.
Cross-platform. So it's, if you have a PC, you can run all the Xbox games on it.
Yeah, which is something they were very much against in the past.
And they're going to release Xbox controllers that you can play without, you can use on your PC without a dongle. They're just Bluetooth controlled.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. People have been saying that PS4 sales are so, they're so far ahead of Xbox.
Yeah.
That Microsoft's like, well, we've kind of lost the console war here.
Right, right.
For this generation anyway, so maybe
we're just going to force Windows 10 on everybody. I've been fighting that battle for months.
You mentioned that earlier, yeah, right? Constant updates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't want Windows 10.
Yeah, right, geez.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
My computer worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
That's all I have.
Well, and they're doing
Project Scorpio.
Doing a slim console as well.
That's right, yeah.
And I know there's a big push. This is what I really like this, where you can play any Xbox game.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Like, that's something...
I mean, many ways you can play any Xbox game.
Yes, you can.
You just purchase the Xbox that's required and the game, and then you play it.
Xbox, though, they shot themselves in the foot at the very start of this console launch when they said you can't share games.
You can't share games
and your TV's always looking at you.
You're always being watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
They reversed that fairly quickly.
Yeah, like how dare you want to share a game with one of your friends?
Yeah. Especially because everybody, if you can't, somebody will crack it and people will do it anyway.
Yep.
Why not encourage sharing, encourage community and all those kinds of things?
Right.
And encourage, like... playing with your friends
and you'd be like, well, I'm loaning this to my friend and you can't play it. So they'd be like, oh, well, maybe I'll just buy it and whatever.
Yeah,
but if you can crack it and copy it, everybody will.
Most
do
that. Games that I borrow, I won't buy. But I'll be like, yeah, I'd try that, but I don't want to drop 70 bucks on it. Yeah.
Was there any PlayStation
exclusive
release news? Or
yeah, there was a bunch of stuff. Oh, okay. Firstly, new Zelda game. People excited for that.
Okay.
He's back.
I haven't played one in a long time.
Breathe of the Wind.
Breathe of the Wind. Okay, sure. He's back, that green-clad bard Zelda.
Yeah.
He's back in a big way.
Look at him go.
Good old Zelda.
On another adventure.
King of the forest is Zelda. Good on him. What a legend of Zelda, that guy.
God of War's back, but it looks kind of more Tomb Raider-esque. It's like a third-person...
He's been rebooted.
Sort of.
Okay.
Because it's the same Kratos, because he's got the scar from where he got that bloody sword through him.
Okay, yeah.
One of them. I dropped off the God of War games mostly because a lot of people say this Kratos is very unpleasant.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But because he's just rage.
Yeah.
And initially that's kind of interesting and fun, mm-hmm. but he kind of peters off.
Why is he
still so angry?
If the rage never peters
subsides,
out. Yeah, it never subsides. If there's never any moments where you break the tension, then it's kind of...
And this one, though, is Norse mythology.
Did you ever play Asura's Wrath?
No.
Okay.
What is that?
It was like this game... It was like...
Is it a point-and-click 90s game?
Yeah. No, it was on like 360 and PS3, and it was like a... It was this mix of like... It was very anime-styled, and it was this mix of like super high-tech and like Eastern mythology, like kind of... Buddhist and Indian and all that sort of stuff. And the world was amazing.
But the game
was... The game was just like... And the storyline was really good.
Yeah.
Ish. But it was... for a game. But it was like... It was a game where you were this guy and you're like... You ran around, you shot a whole bunch of like foot soldiers and you build up your rage meter.
Right, right.
And then you'd like fight a guy and you just hit... It was just quick time events.
Ugh.
And like... And it was broken up into episodes. So it was kind of like watching an anime.
Yeah.
But... They wouldn't let you progress to the next episode of the anime unless you just button mashed in front of your TV. It was kind of like that. But it was like these set pieces of like the set piece was really good. Like at one point you fight this demigod who keeps getting bigger. Like he starts out sort of similar to you and then he's like the size of a house. And then at one point he's like the size of the moon and he's kind of like he's floating above the earth and he just pushes like one of his fingers like down in the atmosphere to crush you. And it's and it's like, glowing red hot because he's going through the atmosphere with it, and all the ideas were really good, but game wise was just meh. Yeah. Anyway,
that sounds like it would have been better as a series.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. That was Capcom,
right?
Because at one point there's like a crossover where you fight Akuma.
Ken.
Yeah, you fight Ken. Yeah, right.
but yeah, I'm excited because Kratos has a son.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see a different...
Little Kratos.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see a different version of that. And this is a God of War game. I didn't play the last one. It was like a prequel.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, I can't do that anymore. But uh-huh. this one, I will definitely... I actually got the PlayStation 3 because of God of War.
Is your son like a bonus character?
I think he's a little helpy guy.
Okay, sure.
I think he's there for most of the game.
Uh-huh.
So like you can command him to go and fight the fiery demon horse or whatever, and then you go and fight a different horse.
Okay, sure.
The regular horse.
Right. You know what's always great? Bloody CPU controlled characters.
Like. That being said, it's changed.
Yeah, okay.
Like you look at Last of Us, a lot of games do it really, really well.
But some games do it very poorly
But Santa Monica Studios, who do like God of War, like they're a great studio. Uh-huh. It's not something that concerns me. Mm-hmm. Like they'll do it well. We got a last.
They do good games. They do Everclear albums.
Like we got our Last Guardian release date in October.
Oh, that's a
game that's been coming for like 8 years.
I was gonna say I remember trailers for that years ago. Yeah, I assumed that game had come out and we were done with it.
No.
Is that the Bird people Dog. That did Shadow of the Colossus?
Yes, which is amazing. Right. I love that game.
Yeah.
So apparently by the people who've played it, it's
and
very
Ico.
Yeah, one of those.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Ho chillin'.
Great.
Apparently it's very it plays like a last generation game. Because it is.
Yeah. Right. You know, they didn't finish it before the last generation finished up.
That's right. There was a lot of like creative people falling on and off. And
is this the new Duke Nukem Forever?
I don't think it can. I'll be getting it.
Okay.
But I don't think it'll live up to expectations.
Right, okay.
So I'll just bear that in mind.
What about a VR Shadow of the Colossus?
I said, how would you do the climbing?
Don't know.
Yeah.
It's not for me to determine. It's for the boffins over at whatever that company's called.
Yeah. The massive reveal, probably the most exciting thing for me anyway, is the Insomniac Spider-Man game.
Yeah, it looks good.
PlayStation 4 exclusive, which people are annoyed about.
But it's Sony. What are they going
to? Sony, exactly. Right. That's basically the reason. That's not to say that it will eventually become a PC or an Xbox title.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that happens.
Yep.
But for the moment, just PlayStation.
Now, I would say the number one concern. Well, I mean, there'd be two concerns.
Right.
One is, what is the web swinging like? Because you want to have good web
all
swinging.
All I want someone to say is, look, the web swinging is Spider-Man 2.
Right.
Do I say it's web swinging or web swinging?
Web swinging. So is the web swinging good?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, free flowing? Does it make you feel like you are Spider-Man?
Yep.
And the number two concern is the costume.
Yes.
Because it's a new costume.
Yep.
As far as I know, we've never seen this in a comic book or a cartoon or a movie or anything like that. Mm. I think it looks good.
I don't think it matters. I think you're going to be able to reskin him. Like,
exactly. There'll be classic Spider-Man. You'll be able to do Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll wear a sleeveless hoodie.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
No, you're right.
Maybe that's something like a component you can change very early on in the game.
True.
Who knows? Maybe it's not. I don't care. If it plays well, I don't care.
Exactly. Maybe and because he's got the Civil War eye
shutters. Yeah.
So you might meet Tony Stark and he's like, hey, here's your new suit, or kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I really like the song. I am always a big. I'm maybe more so recently, but I'm a big fan of when they tweak a costume a little bit. Like even with the Marvel movies, they change Captain America's costume every time. They change Iron Man's suit every time.
Mm.
I like it.
You like Superman removing his underwear?
Sensually. I like him removing his. Sometimes that design works.
Mm.
Yeah. But live action underpants are always very strange.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I can't argue with that.
But I really like the design.
Yeah, okay.
It's got the web spinnerets on the on the gloves. Looks good.
I follow the Insomniac who did like.
I really like the '90s Spider-Man costume, the Ben Reilly one.
Yeah, I like that one too. Mm. Yeah,
it became the Spider-Girl costume.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Insomniac who's they did the Resistance games.
Yep.
Which I enjoyed, and they did an open world driving game recently. Apparently this is, it's an older Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's not connected to the cinematic universe.
Okay.
And all the Marvel games, which are going to be rolling out, this is the first of apparently many rumored, they're not tied, they're in their own universe.
Okay.
And they're not tied to the movies.
Is it a shared universe though?
Yeah, like
if they do a new Iron Man game, will it be in this Spider-Man universe?
I would
imagine
so. I don't know. This is just the rumor.
Yeah.
But that's the way. There's been so many terrible Marvel tie-in games.
Yes.
Most of them, except for Captain America.
Correct.
Which is pretty good. Uh-huh. Like, the Thor's terrible. There's like three Iron Man games and they're all bad.
Yep.
Like, Sega, whatever you call them, they did them all. And they're pretty much all crap from all accounts.
Yeah. And I feel part of the reason for that is that they have such a limited time to make.
That's
them.
Exactly right.
Because they
yeah.
can't go, okay. I was recently on an episode of Filthy Casuals, a video games podcast, and I said pretty much the same thing. That is, people should go and listen to that because they have some E3 thoughts this week, and it's very good.
Probably better than ours.
Almost
if you can
certainly.
Believe it.
Yeah, I know, right? But if Marvel go, okay, there's going to be another Captain America movie in 2 years, they can't give all the details of that movie to the video game company and say, work off this script and put in all these action set pieces, because invariably somebody will leak that or the code will be released on the internet and all of a sudden you know the entire plot of the next Captain America movie. So they basically wait until the movie's nearly finished, then go, you've got 2 months.
Yeah. What do you got?
What do you got? So what you got?
And then you have to build levels around specific things from the movie.
Right, exactly.
And apparently the developers of all these games which are rumored to be coming out, they're excited by the freedom that you get when you can just go, like, do whatever you want.
That's why the Arkham games are great.
That's right.
Because it's sort of the cartoon version, but a darker version.
Yep.
There's elements from the movies. There's elements from the comics.
Yep.
Throw in whatever you want, and it worked out.
There's a good chance that I think this will be the Arkham of kind of Spider-Man game. Yeah. Good chance. Mm. Not 100%, but I'm positive.
Oh, sure.
I'm feeling positive.
Great.
About it.
Folks, note down, he's made another grand proclamation about what is going to be good or great. Let's see what
I'm
happens.
I'm feeling positive.
What do you think the fighting system's going to be like?
I think it's going to be like the Arkham system, but more jumpy.
Okay. What have the previous Spider-Man fighting game systems been like?
Shit house. Even in Spider-Man 2, it's very clunky. Yeah.
Okay. Because in this trailer you see like Spider-Man and he webs up a guy and then he flips over the guy and he lifts the guy off the ground and he smashes him into the roof of the building. How would that have played out in like one of the previous Spider-Man games?
It'd be like A, jump B.
I hate those. Yeah, exactly.
So I think it'll be much clearer than that. Also, you see a guy like web a guy out of a car and he you do that in the old Spider-Man games, but a lot of the time it's just a quick time event and you end up doing it 1,000 times.
You also see Spider-Man pick up like an air conditioning unit with a web and hit a guy in the face with it. That guy's definitely dead. But yeah, like I would want to feel like Spider-Man in these games.
Yeah.
I would want maybe you've got a button for webbing. You hit him with the webbing, and then you've got a measure of control of what you do there.
Right, right.
Like, then you pull back on the stick, and he lifts the guy off the ground, and then you turn right, and then he spins him, or what have you. Like, if it's just AABY or whatever, that doesn't feel.
No, I agree.
It feels clunky, and you have to memorize. As someone who's not a very good
memorizer.
Like and I'm not a combo guy or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to memorize a long string of buttons to make something happen.
Mm.
I want to feel like I'm Spider-Man and go, okay, well, I've hit him with a web. What would Spider-Man do now? He'd pull back.
Yeah.
So
if you
pull
hit
back
punch, maybe
stick.
He pulls him in and you hit him in the
face. Exactly, like, right, yeah, exactly, right.
Exactly. Exactly.
We know what's up.
We know exactly how to make
video games.
Video
game designers, just make games the way we want and then I'll play them in a year's time. When they're cheap.
The last thing I want to talk about, I'm sure we're missing a lot of stuff. But the game that ended the PlayStation conference was called, what was it? Oh my God, Days Gone, a zombie game.
Okay.
And it was weird because they showed the trailer for it early on and then they ended with gameplay. And it was like spilling over World War Z zombies, like hundreds. And it looked pretty cool. But everyone was like, that's a weird game to end on, especially because you revealed it earlier.
Right.
And the rumor is that Rockstar were going to turn up.
Oh, I heard about this, right?
And reveal the new Red Dead, but because of the shooting, they thought it would be in poor taste. Because
which
apparently
shooting specifically? Bar. Orlando.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's been a lot this week.
Yeah. So I can understand why they didn't turn up.
Yep.
I also don't begrudge anybody that would and just like presses on with what they were doing. You know, that's a call
exactly,
they
because
to make,
it's the video game industry. It's not.
Mm.
They're not the government.
No, exactly.
They don't have to address it.
Yeah, yeah.
And 99% of, more than that, 99.999% of people who play video games are just playing video games.
That's right, yeah.
So they don't have to, you know.
No. But I can understand because there would have been backlash. Like the media would be like, then video games are killing kids or whatever.
Right.
It's not.
And it's because it's a, it would be good if that were the case because then there'd be an off switch.
Right.
Let's not get political, but if video games were causing violent behavior, you could just ban video games and that would be great. But that's not the reason. What was this other game?
Days Gone.
Yeah, zombies.
Zombies.
Okay.
It's got the dude from The Force Unleashed as the main guy.
Oh.
It's like you're in a biker gang, but then there's the zombie apocalypse.
Do you think that's just because they had his character model left over from something else? Do you think they bought it from The Force Unleashed guys?
It's probably been a bit dated by now.
That's true.
But it's possible.
Mm.
Anything's possible, Mason.
Yeah.
Not anything.
I guess it's kind of like the same people who do superhero movies keep showing up again and again because they know how to work with green screens.
Right, right.
It's they've gotten this guy because he knows how to wear a ping pong ball thing on his head.
Ooh. Exactly. He is. He's good. And he's a great voice actor as well.
Yeah.
What's his name? Can't remember. I'm looking up his name. Force Unleashed actor. He does the voice of the Emperor in Rebels and stuff.
Oh.
It's quite diverse.
Ooh.
It says Jimmy Smits.
It's not Jimmy Smits.
Sam Witwer. That's
there we
him.
Go. Yeah,
he's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Okay, Mason, we're going to talk about Warcrap, but before that, we've hopefully
done... Did you just refer to it as Warcrap? That's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that.
Oh!
We've got an Independence Day commentary, hopefully.
Yeah.
Up. It should be up right now. It's in the description. Independence Day is coming out this week. We'll be doing an episode on next week. Independence Day Resurgence, sorry.
Correct.
So if you want to check out the other one.
The 1996 classic. Yes. 20 years today.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. This very day.
Mm.
Yeah, so we haven't done it yet, but I'm sure it's great.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Patreon, it's there. It's already available.
Yep.
You could also just go to Bandcamp. You can pay like $1 or $2 or whatever it is and download it. Or you can just play it from there for free. Mm. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Or you can
man.
Do as some people do, just listen to it and not watch the movie.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people saying that.
That's right.
We get two things at this podcast more than you'd think we'd get.
Yeah.
Number one is I listen to your audio commentaries without watching the movie.
Yeah.
And I still had a pretty good time, so that's good. And also, hey guys, if you listen to your podcast at half speed, you guys sound drunk. What's that keep happening?
I don't understand.
Right?
I couldn't tell you.
But keep doing it.
Please.
However you like to listen to it. Thank you.
Whatever bloody gets you through.
As long as you're subscribing at bloody regular speed.
You know it, mate. Mm.
Leave a 5-star review at double speed, mate.
Double speed. Double the speed. Mm. Get into it. So we find this all Warcraft this week because it just came out here.
Yes, we did.
A week later than it was everywhere else in the world.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go spoiler free then spoilers. We don't have a hell of a lot to say.
Mm. Good thing E3 happened.
Thank God.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... I have some thoughts, and you also have some thoughts.
I have some thoughts also.
But before you get to the thoughts, Mason, what do you think the story was?
Oh, no. All right. So... let me get my bearings. We need a theme tune for what do you think the plot was?
Right.
All right. So.
It should be just. Bop, bop, bop.
Okay. So there's a world of orcs.
Yeah.
I think it's another world. It's not another dimension.
Right.
But they have there's magic called the Fel. It's like an evil green magic, and it's ruined the world.
Yeah.
Of orcs, and so they need another planet to call home. And so the evil head of the orcs, who's an orc and also a wizard.
Yeah.
He's a wizard orc. He has decided to, his plan is to open up a portal to the good guy's planet.
Yep.
Which, the name of which is Azeroth.
Azeroth, yeah.
Azeroth. And in order to use this magic, in order to open the portal, they have to sacrifice a lot of lives.
Yes.
And so they've only got enough lives on hand to send a few warriors through, orc warriors through the portal.
Yeah.
And then once they have defeated all the good guys on the other side of the portal, they will sacrifice a whole bunch more lives.
Yep.
And they'll open up the portal and all the orcs will come through.
It'd be an orcopalypse.
It'd be pretty awkward for humanity. So
definitely.
Yeah, so anyway.
But maybe there's good guys and bad guys on both sides.
There's good guys on both sides. Yeah.
Interesting dynamic.
That's very, very interesting.
What did you think of the movie in general?
Look, it took a really long time to get started.
I felt
half an hour. But that's the thing, like, I went out on Twitter last night and I asked listeners, the Weekly Wackadoos, the listeners of our show, if you're a big fan of Warcraft and World of Warcraft, what do you think of the lore of this movie? Like, what did you think? Did they do a good job with it?
Yes.
Did they?
Was it accurate?
Was it faithful?
Or what they changed, were you okay with it?
Yeah. And for the most people said they changed some things for the better. Like, they streamlined it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they took some of the stuff that, you know, was much further on in the game world and they just put it in at the start.
Sure, yeah.
Most people were like, this movie was quite accurate
as far as
that went. But I should have asked this as a follow-up question, which was, if you didn't know anything about Warcraft, like what would you feel about the opening, opening sequences and the character development, stuff like that? As somebody who doesn't know anything about Warcraft, I felt that there was a lot of nothing at the start.
Yeah.
But I guess if you knew a lot about Warcraft, you would have been like, oh, it's that character. It's this event and it's this place.
Yeah.
I also didn't get... for me, it was quite difficult to determine where things were happening.
Right.
Because at the start, we got a lot of locations.
Yep.
And we got a lot of characters, a lot of locations. And I was like, where are these taking place?
Right.
Are these next to each other? Are they a really long way away?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I found at the start... the opening is in one of the trailers. It's just an orc and a human... and apparently it's inspired by Sergio Leone. Where they kind of, just an orc and a human facing off each other. I think that guy's Callan Mulvey.
You mentioned that at the time.
Sure.
You yelled it really loud in the cinema.
Out the patron saint of this podcast.
Correct.
I thought that was a really exciting opening. Uh-huh. And then
me too. And it was quite creative.
Yeah.
We've done, what was that movie? Oh, it was Dracula Untold, where there was an action sequence filmed from Sword Point. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
that.
It
was real bad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was an interesting idea.
That was quite creative, this opening sequence.
And then it cuts to the orc stuff. And the orc stuff for this entire movie, I found really, really engaging. I felt like they were really well designed.
With these the orc character designs, I think they, in terms of, you know, they looked, for the most part, they looked quite real.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did the eyes well, which is a key point for CGI characters generally. I felt initially that they had a lot of weight to them.
Right.
Like in their initial appearance, in the initial battle, there's an initial sort of an ambush situation between orcs and humans early on, and I felt they had a lot of weight to them. They felt like very threatening.
Like one hit and you'd...
Yeah, like this monstrous kind of... Broken. Like these kind of... Like, you know, flying boulder kind of characters where if you were hit by them, you're splintered into a million pieces, you know, you're done. But I felt as the movie progressed, they became less and less threatening. They became...
Yeah.
Everybody became more cannon fodder.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost a lot of physical weight to them. I don't know.
And a bit of that, I think, has to do with one of the lead guys figures out that you don't match them strength for strength. You have speed as the advantage.
Right, sure.
Because they can't turn the way that you can turn and that a human can turn. I should say, but no, I found the orc characters far more engaging than the human characters.
Yes.
I thought the orc characters were much better cast.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In general, especially the lead orc played by Toby Kebbell. And I like the stakes of his because he's got this child coming to the world and he's just trying to find a home for his family.
Uh-huh.
I found all that very, very interesting. But then it kind of cuts to the human side of it. And that's where it sort of started to lose me a bit in terms of... There was like a 10-minute conversation with a wizard, and I remember we just like turned to each other at one point. And we're like, what
is happening?
What is
right?
going on? Yeah. And I know it's because I'm not a massive fan of these properties. I don't know the world.
Yep.
And but to me, it was like I'm a bit confused by what all this is. Who's this paladin guy? What's his job? Where's he been?
Yeah.
What can he do? What can any of them do?
Mm.
What's the monarchy in this world?
That's true.
And they sort of explain it as it goes. Yeah. But initially, I'm like, this is a lot of information I don't know.
And it's also a problem with this kind of movie is that there's a magic system in place, but you don't know what you don't know what people's power levels are.
That being said, they did a good job of pretty much basically going, green magic is bad, blue magic is good.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So that was a good visual distinction to make. It's like in Star Wars, like you know who the bad guys are because the lightsabers and whatever.
Yeah.
So that I didn't mind. But yeah, it's a bit kind of, it was a bit like, what can these guys kind of do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you and the listener.
Sure.
The one listener we have, our weekly wackadoo.
Terry.
Hey, Terry. It's good to hear from you, mate. I always feel Warcraft is a very... Like, it's quite, not campy, but it's like, it's quite irreverent.
Yeah.
Like, I remember playing, I only ever played Warcraft 2.
Right.
But it was very, like, all the designs are kind of silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the orcs and humans have funny little things to say, and they're kind of, like, it's, and I, as I understand it, that inherent campiness is not, and that silliness, the irreverence hasn't really gone away. Like, it's more grim and grittier, but they're still kind of... Everybody's still kind of not taking it that seriously.
Right, right, yeah.
But this movie's very earnest.
Like, yeah.
This is it's taking itself very seriously.
Mm.
What do you reckon about that? Did it work?
Yes and no, because I just think, honestly, it wasn't... The human side wasn't cast that well.
Uh-huh.
Like, the king...
It's Dominic Cooper, nice guy.
That doesn't work at all.
He didn't feel...
He kind of tiny.
Yeah, he didn't feel regal or...
He had a weird haircut.
Yeah. Also, I think when I think also of Warcraft, I think, and it's a different franchise, but I think they're very similar in their origins, I think, of, you know, Warhammer.
Right, right,
where all the human characters are also huge monster creatures.
Yeah.
Like, I feel they have the same source material. They're not, you know, they're obviously not the same franchise,
no,
but...
No, of course not, yeah.
Yeah, like these guys were just kind of... I wanted some more like monstrous men. I don't know what's going on there.
So you didn't... So what about the Ragnar Lothbrok as the main guy, the guy from Vikings?
He always seemed drunk.
He's a bit like that. Like in the... Yeah. He's Australian.
Okay.
He's a bit kind
You're
of
saying
slurry.
The actor is quite drunk.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
No, but that's kind of his acting kind of...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could see they were kind of going for this Aragorn kind of thing and he didn't quite get there.
Yeah,
but I think he did okay.
Unhinged.
The young kid wizard...
Yep.
He looked like a kid from a Disney show or something.
Didn't buy him? Is the
Not really,
okay,
no.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you know what? I saw him in an interview. And like, you look older and more wizardy in real life than you did in the movie.
Right.
Maybe it was a little moustache and whatever. Mm. I don't know what was going on.
What did you buy Ben Foster as the ultimate, you know, this guardian character who's been helping the human world for generations or whatever it
not
is.
Not as much as I would have liked to. Mm-hmm. He did okay. But the thing about Ben Foster is he's quite good at sinking into a role. If you've ever seen him in 30 Days of Night, he plays this real creepy kind of...
Yep, he's got also good in 3:10 to Yuma.
3:10 to Yuma, exactly. He can do that. But this, I don't know if it was exactly suited to him. I didn't entirely buy, first of all, his motivations.
Yep.
Like he'd been... Oh, wait. Spoilers?
No, I think we still got a little bit more to say.
Okay, fine.
You can talk around it. Let's see you talk around something. Here we go.
What am I doing?
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't. His motivations to me weren't entirely clear.
Yeah.
Or he didn't convey that, or maybe I just didn't pick up on
it. See, that's the thing. Like, I feel that he's kind that character's supposed to be quite a conflicted character as to what his motivations are. He's being pulled in different directions.
Yeah.
And I think if you were familiar with the character from the games,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh, obviously the way he's acting is because of these reasons.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, you're just like, what are you doing, mate? Come on. Yeah.
Let's talk Kellen Mulvey. Was that him?
Look, it didn't. Is he listed as uncredited cameo?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk special effects then.
Okay, let's do it.
Orcs generally good, especially face stuff.
Yep, uh-huh.
They did all that mo-capture stuff, like a lot of it was in frame or whatever.
Okay.
You can shoot. Because it used to be like that you'd film something and it'd just be like Brendan Fraser kicking a room full of nothing and then they put in mummies around him or whatever. But this is all, you know, it's like Planet of the Apes. You can... Everybody's there.
But there are no real sets in this movie.
There are.
Yeah.
But then it feels like they go away towards the end of the movie.
Yes.
A lot of green screen.
That is my... If we're talking effects, I definitely felt like things got... There was less and less detail, I felt, as it progressed. Like, we were talking, you know, the orcs look great.
Yeah.
Especially early on when there's some emoting.
Right,
but there's scenes later on where there's orcs fighting orcs at one point.
Right.
I don't think that's a spoiler. But it's sort of... I felt they sort of started losing resolution towards the end. Like, it's just... They're like, oh, we just have them smash into each other and have some dust come up or whatever.
Right,
and it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. No, I can't really argue with that. This movie is actually cheaper than what you'd think. Uh-huh. It was like $140 million.
Oh, bargain.
I know, right?
Bargain.
It was something like that, but... In terms of like Batman, Superman was like 250.
Yeah.
And Civil War was 250. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, so they did a lot with the budget comparatively for what they had to do.
I guess that's true. But then when I think of a Batman v Superman, for example, a lot of that extra money is Ben Affleck paycheck, probably.
Sure, yeah.
That
at least 50 million.
There's no big stars in Warcraft.
It doesn't seem to be as much. Yeah.
Except for Callum Mulvey.
Of course.
If indeed he was in that.
Yeah.
And
he was.
Okay, great. And also, yeah, I guess, where does the rest of the money go? Real sets, I guess?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I did enjoy, I liked the exaggerated world and weapons and shields and armors.
Me too, yeah.
I really liked that kind
me
of
too,
stuff.
Yeah.
I thought the king armor didn't entirely work. The weird lion helmet.
Oh, yeah,
wore,
right. Uh-huh.
I thought that was a little strange. But
yeah, I mean,
generally,
I guess it's very easy to make any kind of medieval style world look really cheap.
Yes.
If the armor and stuff doesn't look right,
yeah,
it'll look really cheap.
Mm.
But also it can't be real looking armor because it's an exaggerated world, but it can't look too far to the other side because then it's people playing dress up. But
that's
all the costumes look really good, yeah.
Really
And I also think with the orc designs, like, you know, there's one of the guys has like, is it like crocodile skeletons on his shoulders or something like that?
Something like that.
And they look quite like, they weren't over designed.
No,
it seemed to be this from the same school as like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
That kind of bizarre,
where they're like, okay, we need to personalize them, but I don't think it was over designed.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did enjoy in this.
Oh yes.
As far as the human characters, well, it was a real person. Gamora, who was the actress who played her, I can't remember. But she was pretty good.
Uh huh.
What was her name?
Little
tusks looked a little weird.
Paula Patton.
That's it, yeah.
Who was in Mission Impossible
4.
She's in Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, the best of the Mission Impossibles.
Before Tom Cruise scared her off like he does all his female leads.
Correct.
Should we talk spoilers?
Let's talk spoilers. Anyway, so we should give a rating.
Sure.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Look, and...
It's not something I could recommend to somebody who doesn't know anything about this world.
Right.
I think it's one of those things where if it was on like Netflix or streaming or whatever.
If it wasn't an adaptation of something, would anybody recommend it? Like, if it wasn't...
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question.
Look, here's my
I think I would view it differently because as far as taking all the material of the world and funneling it into a two-hour movie, it's a really good effort.
I think so, yeah.
At the same time, yeah, if it wasn't that, would it just be convoluted and weird?
Yeah, there wouldn't be enough. You'd spend the whole movie going, how do those guys know each other?
Yeah.
And I mean, I still did do that.
Yeah, but you know that there's a backstory to that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. Look, here, this is my, rather than saying best movie ever or worst movie ever, I'm going to say if you woke up in the cinema and Warcraft was playing, I wouldn't leave.
Right.
I'd
yeah.
be like, oh, you yeah, just, that's you just that's keep true. Watching this.
I didn't hate it. There were bits where that I liked more than others.
Yeah.
Now we might be getting another one of these because it did really well in China.
That's true. Yeah.
And I think it would have been more beneficial to tell a smaller story.
Right. Okay.
To start with,
define smaller story.
Like, and you know the way that Lord of the Rings starts, for example, which is like
a song.
Yes. A mm-hmm. weird song mm-hmm. about washing dishes. No, that's the whole bit. But it starts with a focus on Hobbit character, mm-hmm. and then it introduces Gandalf and magic,
yep.
and then Elven village, and then Mordor, and then it kind of expands outwards.
Yep, uh-huh.
I think that's kind of the way you
so
should
So what you're saying is
it.
If we're doing another Warcraft movie, we should get J.R.R. Tolkien
yes.
to write it.
Correct.
Bring him back from the dead. But I mean, at the same time, if you did build it like that, if you built a fantasy movie like that,
yeah.
I reckon a lot of people will be like, they've just stolen the structure from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but you do, yeah, maybe.
Just do it better then. Just do it better than Lord of the Rings. Just do a fantasy movie better than Lord of the Rings. That's your solution, isn't
it? I think it's a good template because Lord of the Rings could have fallen into the trap of, because Lord of the Rings has an equally complicated mythology.
That's true, yeah.
But they did a good job of kind of slowly introducing it.
Yeah.
And I think this is a little too heavy too soon for people who don't know the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. It was all right.
Yeah, if you woke up in the cinema, like I said.
Okay, spoilers.
Yeah, let's do it.
Glenn Close was in a CGI cloak.
Glenn Close is in
a rock.
Glenn Close out of nowhere. She must know Duncan Jones then, I guess.
I guess. Right? I don't know. Mm. I'm sure someone could definitely tell me what that was, but what was that?
Then when he had to walk into a weird black liquid floaty thing.
Yeah.
Great, good.
I'm not against it. I just don't know what... I mean, that was kind of... I got the point was to be like, you're now the protector of the realm or whatever. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I guess she's kind of like an overseer of everything.
Yeah,
kind
right.
Kind of like an oracle of sorts.
Now, I mentioned this to you as we left the movie theater. Do you think they...
You said, is this a bin? No.
You asked if it was a bin. I knew it was a bin. Do you think they got... Do you think they got gave Glenn Close a costume fitting and stuff like that? Or do you think she just showed up and they tilted the camera slightly... And they just CGI'd everything around
her. I think that's what it was. Yeah, uh-huh. I think she probably did it in front of a green screen because that cloak was CGI.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She probably just wore a form-fitting outfit and they just went from there.
Correct.
Yeah.
What else happened in this movie?
Toby Kebbell was also one of those bald wizards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was good to see. I like that guy a lot. Dwarves gave guns out. I like the guns.
Oh, I forgot about the guns,
that was
right?
Pretty good, man.
Do you think guns are a game breaker in this kind of fantasy universe? I mean, I know they have them.
They seem to be like a one-off.
That's true, yeah.
You kind of got to pack them.
You have to pack
it's
like
it's probably
yeah.
a giant square bullet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Towards the end, it just became waves of people just hitting each other.
Yeah. It seems like that. And Duncan Jones, if this is true, has been really good at not letting on that there was some major studio interference.
Oh, yes.
In terms of like, you need this, you need to streamline this, this end sequence needs to be that, you need to explain this character. And in doing so...
And to his credit, he didn't.
No, but it feels like something to this happened along the way. They did push it back quite a bit.
Yep.
Yeah. So the wizard was bad. He was a bad bloke.
Oh, he was a bad bloke, yep. Surprise.
He was being corrupted. He's corrupted by a demon. At one point, he turned into a demon, but luckily, a big clay man fell on him.
That's true. I guess that was well set up in the sense that you knew Lil Wizard had that power.
Yeah.
And so you knew where that, like, he didn't. So the problem often with these things is somebody pulls a magic power out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you, because it worked in the sense that we knew he had some, like, you know, throw people around magic powers and he could shoot a fireball or whatever.
Yeah.
And we knew he could do the teleport thing.
Yeah.
And so at the end, it didn't come out of nowhere.
No,
so
no,
that was
it
fine.
Didn't. No, I'm okay with that sequence.
We're actually recording, right? Did we remember?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, good.
I thought something more was going to come of the fact that he had no shoes on, like Die Hard.
Die Hard style, right, exactly.
The main guy loses his shoes and then he jumps on a griffin, pretty sweet shot.
Yeah.
And then he flies and then the Fights a dude.
Good CGI animals. I don't think I mentioned that. Yeah. The big dire wolves.
Definitely. They were good. But you know that bit how he fights the guy who kills his son? Actually, I found that bit, that was quite touching, how he lost his son. Okay, I thought that was pretty effective. Yeah, and then he slashed that guy in the balls. At the
end. Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
That was pretty...
Yeah, that was... Okay, yeah.
And you know what? I also liked that... So we lost some main characters.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed... Not enjoyed it, but I thought that was a... It also did well to set up... Apparently, that their kid that they have goes on to be like a big player
in the Warcraft
universe. But...
I guess if you don't know the characters...
Mm.
Then you don't know who's going to live and die.
Yeah, that's
right. I guess
that's
an advantage if you don't know the characters. Yes. If you do, you go, well, okay, I know that person can't die and that person can't die.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
They're going
to
live on forever.
Again, but that all comes back to the orc stuff I found much more. Whenever they would go to the orcs, then I was way more invested than it was with the humans. And I liked how the Toby Kebbell orc had a showdown with the wizard, and the wizard was like cheating and like sucking his life force out of him.
That's true, yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if we entirely bought the... There's honor among orcs, but sometimes there is no honor. Sometimes, because they're like, we'll never fight alongside you because you don't have any honor. And then he's like, but kill all the humans. And they're like, okay.
But he did like suck the soul out of like three of them.
I guess
when
that's
they
true.
Turned their
all
back.
Right, all
yeah.
right.
He's a pretty scary
I reckon
bloke.
If they piled on,
right,
they
yeah.
could rip his head off.
Yeah, probably.
That's all I'm saying.
He's probably full of weird green goo though.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to see another one?
Oh, good question. Maybe because, like, just in terms of visual style, I would like to see more of that world.
Right, right.
Like, they could go to a wizarding realm. I want to see more wizards, certainly.
More wizards?
They like wizards.
More wizardy wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. One thing I posted on Twitter I thought was interesting. It was an interviewer just attacking Duncan Jones for things that he didn't like about the
movie. A man whose dad recently died.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
And he's just like, I didn't like this. Don't you think that maybe you weren't the best person to direct this? And he was just like, and Duncan Jones just bloody handled it. And he was really polite and he had a really, he clearly thought about the world and he's clearly passionate about it. And he had an answer for everything, but not like a jerk.
Yeah.
He clearly thought it through.
And you know what I just realized? We didn't mention it. This is a movie adapted from a video game that is not total garbage.
Yes.
He's done it.
He's done
it. He did it. Good work, Duncan Jones.
Is it the best video game movie?
Yes, it is.
Is it better than Prince of Persia?
Oh. Ooh. I'm going to say tie. I'm going to say it's a tie. I always forget about Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia is more of a kind of a Pirates of the Caribbean kind of... Sometimes
that's
I'm
true.
Surfing on bloody sand.
Oh,
or
and also another thing I forgot: you always got to look out for whatever game mechanic they want to shove into the movie. And of course, we had here's a orc encampment and here's a human encampment, and we'll zoom back and forth, so it looks like it's top down Warcraft,
loved
point
it.
And click. Yep,
loved
it.
We loved that bit.
Great. Yeah,
we turned to each other and thumbs up.
Yeah, we did. That's true.
Bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think Duncan Jones is probably it's third in terms of for me for his movies, like Source Code and Moon, I really enjoyed, and it's enjoyed, but I think it'd be good to give him maybe another crack at this. But I don't think this is like a situation with Josh Trank where he just didn't scorch the earth because people didn't like his movie.
That's true,
because he's out on Twitter going, hey, if you like it, that's great, if you don't, that's cool. Like,
right, exactly.
He's handling himself really well, and I just think that I know he's clearly very intelligent, and he clearly I don't know. He clearly is a good director. I'd like to know what he's going to do next.
There might even be like a movie director playbook now that says don't Trank it. Like that's been written in. Like if you make a movie and it turns out not to be the movie we all wanted, just write it out.
Exactly,
it'll be fine.
Just write it out.
Yeah,
because good directors make bad movies. Sometimes bad directors make good movies.
Sometimes bad directors make bad movies.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they just have a career for a really long time. It's weird, right?
It certainly is. So I whatever he does next, I want to say it.
And also what I do think is a positive from this movie is that this is going to give him enough, because it's done so well, especially in China.
Yeah.
That's going to give him enough Hollywood juice maybe to make a movie that he... is super invested in.
But this he's a massive, massive Warcraft fan.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was like a passion project for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Weekly Planet fans page,
yes.
At the Weekly Planet, what a great Twitter handle.
I agree.
They threw out a Twitter, which super detailed Weekly Planet pod style review would you give Warcraft? Best movie ever, worst movie ever, just a movie. Uh-huh. So it's 20% best movie ever, 13% worst movie, 67% just a movie.
Okay.
So, yeah. There you go.
There you go. That's probably pretty accurate.
Anything else?
Oh, that'll do it, I think.
All right, then. Let's do the next segment.
Yes.
It's called What We're Reading.
Oh, yeah.
And...
oh, What We're Gonna Read.
There he is.
Right.
He's back. I'm doing the thing.
What are we reading today? I've been watching Elementary. I'm years behind on it.
American Sherlock.
Yeah, American Sherlock with Johnny Lee Miller.
With British Sherlock.
Yeah, with British Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu as Joan Watson.
I hate the intro.
Oh, with the little rotating gun thing.
It's like a ball kicks a gun and it falls.
What do you think of the show?
Because
this is my first time watching this.
I watched two episodes.
Maybe. I like it a lot.
Oh, really?
I think it's fun.
Okay.
He's not as in... look, and again, I like a lot of the British Sherlock.
Yeah.
There are some episodes that are really on the nose for me. And yep. I think the differences between the American one and the British one is that Stephen Moffat really, really loves all his main characters and he cannot bear for them to get into any real trouble or to not be the best at all times.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that really grinds on me a lot of the time with Sherlock.
Yeah.
But this character is much more fallible.
Yeah.
And
he's more druggy, isn't he?
He's more and he's got real problems and he's like, there's moments in it where he's like, you know, he's talking to Joan Watson and he's like, okay, I can determine from this and this and this that, you know, this is the reason you're acting like this is because of this and this and this. And then it turns out it was just a guess. Like he doesn't have all the clues all the time. Sometimes he's just guessing. Sometimes he's taking credit for things.
Yeah.
His own kind of thing.
So he's a bit of a kind of a con man at the same time.
Yeah. He's got a nice arrogance to him, but he's not infallible.
Yeah.
And they're all pretty good. I've only watched like 5 episodes. I think they might get a bit samey after a while.
Do you think they're going to make out, Sherlock and Watson?
I don't think they will.
You know, you okay.
I mean, I say that now, but they probably have. I mean, there's like 4 seasons of it out now. So
yeah. Yeah, they churn them out, don't they?
Yeah.
Apparently with that show, they went to the British guys and they were like, can you help us adapt Sherlock? And they were like, nah. And they went, well, we're just going to do one anyway because it's out of copyright.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody can make a Sherlock show.
Something that I maybe don't like about it so much is they've kind of minimized Joan Watson's role.
Right.
Like she's an ex-surgeon, but she was never in the military. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I mean, she's very much, so far, she's very much like this, she just hangs around Sherlock. She doesn't have any action sequences or anything.
Isn't she
like
his babysitter kind of thing?
Yeah, she's his like sober sponsor.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Pretty good though.
All right.
Yeah.
I won't watch it because I have too much stuff to watch.
Yeah, and if you didn't care for the first couple, it's fine.
Yeah. No, I didn't hate it. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I read The Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade, which is a prequel story to The Dark Knight Returns.
When did this come out?
Earlier this week.
Huh.
A lot of it...
Who wrote this?
Frank Miller with some other people.
But
it was one of those things where, like, they don't give Frank Miller full control because, he's insane.
Is Dark Knight 3 finished?
No, it struggles along.
So why has this come out now?
It's The Dark Knight. It keeps getting delayed and pushed back and nothing's really happening.
Yeah.
At first, I even talked about it on the show, I was pretty positive about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's so few and far in between. It's taking so long for anything to happen.
Yep.
I'm just like, I don't know, man. It's hard to stay enthused about something that I keep forgetting about.
That's true.
You know?
What's the art style like of this?
It's the guy, the kick-ass guy.
Oh, John Romita Jr.?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's interesting.
And I don't always like his art style. I don't think it always works. For Superman, I didn't think it, when he did a run of Superman, I didn't think that particularly works. For Batman, it absolutely does.
Yeah, I guess, you're right.
I enjoyed the story overall. It's really rushed at the end, so much so that I thought, is there another one coming? Like, is that it?
Now, so this is a prequel to Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, 10 years before.
10 years before, okay. Yeah.
And I like the Batman because he's slowing down,
yep.
But he's not completely out of the game, but he's just sore and slow hating himself. And his goal is just like, just get Robin better so I can get out of this.
Oh,
so I like that element of it.
What's he want to do?
Get Robin into the Bat
role. Okay.
Bat role. But at the same time, he's like, he's not ready, so I got to keep doing this.
Okay, sure, right.
And I keep getting hurt
yeah.
like all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's more good than bad,
uh-huh.
but it's very rushed towards the end.
Yeah.
I feel like it could have been a few issues or a longer story.
I had no idea this was coming. This is so weird. To me, this has kind of jumped out of nowhere. Has this been on the boil for a long time?
Yeah, it's been on the boil.
It's a one-shot.
Yeah. Okay. Though it's called, when you download it from Comixology, it's like issue one. So I'm like, oh, great. But I, as far as I know, it's done. But it feels like it shouldn't be.
Right, okay.
Mm.
Very odd. Do you think they should be filling in these gaps?
You know what? The Dark Knight Returns legacy is all over the place.
Yeah, isn't it?
Doesn't
matter. Yeah,
after they did two, all bets are off.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Damn right.
It's better than two.
Cool.
Like Christ. Much better than two.
Can't wait for four.
That's right.
Four is for all Frank Miller again, right?
So he says.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Can't wait for it. Madness.
Another thing that I watch, and we're going to do a sponsored episode on this. So this is a free one, Mason, for you.
Oh, great.
Well, yeah, that's how that works. So I watched two episodes. I got given two episodes of Stranger Things.
It's a freebie for them.
Freebie
is what
them.
It is.
Sorry, yeah. Which is an upcoming Netflix show. And we're going to talk about it more in depth later, but it's great. And I'm just saying that because we are getting sponsored
a company approached us who are representing Netflix, and they're like, can you be sponsored by us and talk about it?
Yeah.
And we said, we will do it. But if it's not good, we will not say that it's good.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Like, we'll take your money.
Yeah.
But if this is bad, we'll just go, why don't you watch it and see what you think?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But it's kind of the canary in the coal mine. Where it's like, bit of a heads up, guys. If we don't specifically say it's good, it's bad.
Yeah.
But you've watched it and it actually is
good.
That being
said, I've only seen two because I've only got given two, but I really enjoyed it. It's what Super 8 tried to be and missed the mark.
So it's kind of...
It's like Spielberg-y. It's like, it's E.T., it's Goonies, it's X-Files. And I don't mean, it's not like a mishmash.
Right. It's its own thing.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And I wished I had more of them to keep. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
We're going to do a paid episode about it. Let's not give away all our talking about a thing now. If you're any good at anything, don't do it for freebies.
That's what they say.
That's what the Joker said.
That's what he says.
You know what I say?
What?
It's time for letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. You know, they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
You took charge of your destiny.
I did it. I'm the king of destiny.
For every week, Mason plays it through his phone. And sometimes it's better than others.
Yeah, I think that was a very good one.
I agree. So if you want to send us a letter, it's a tweet.
Yep.
It's hashtag weeklyplanetpod and we go through them and pick a few.
Oh, which reminds me, a bit of housekeeping. Last week, I asked people to tweet at me who they would like.
As One Punch Man.
One Punch Man and Rick and Morty, if they did live-action versions. A lot of people said Michael Cera for both One Punch Man and Morty. So if he's got time for both. A lot of people, I got Aaron Paul, somebody said for One Punch Man.
Okay, yeah.
Which works. But see, the issue for me is like your A-list stars are too good looking for for Saitama, One Punch Man.
Sure.
Because he's just so bland.
Yeah.
But if you get a character actor, they often have a weird physical attribute.
Right.
Like they're like, they've got big ears or they've got, you know, a very specific brow, which is why they're character actors. You go, oh, that's that guy.
So
there's very few people who are like right in the middle who have nothing.
Yeah.
And Aaron Paul could work because he's got a good bald head, but you'd have to kind of bland him up in CGI. You take his eyebrows off. Like, he's a handsome man, right?
Yeah, but he's not Brad Pitt.
Yeah. A lot of people said Bill Murray for Rick. That's the face I made, which is kind of, Bill Murray is a good, you know, great comedic actor, but when was the last time he raised his voice or did anything?
Yeah.
He did anything physical on screen. I can't really think of it. Somebody, hang on, I'll bloody find it.
There's a few really good ones.
Yeah, I think so. Alex Muth on Twitter, he said John Slattery from Mad Men.
Yep, like that.
Look at that.
He sent
a photo of, he's looking quite haggard.
I wonder if he's got the kind of, the improv kind of chops though.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Maybe.
There's a few good ones. I can't remember the other ones.
Neither can I. Shouldn't have brought it up really.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. But there was a lot of Bill Murray's.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox is One Punch Man. That doesn't work.
Who's
he? He's too bland. He's not bland.
He's Daredevil.
Yeah. No, he's too good looking.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's because sometimes I'm like, it's kind of hard to tell, right?
You need to see the shaved head.
Yeah, you need to see the shaved head. You kind of need to see him without makeup as well, I think.
And he's always got that 5 o'clock shadow.
Mm. Yeah.
He'd probably look real dull if you took all his hair off.
Right. Kay on Twitter has said Patrick Wilson for One Punch Man. I think he's got too... But that's the thing, I think he's got too much going on. Like he's... And he's also... He's quite handsome. He's a handsome guy, right?
I'm looking at...
It's hard to get into the Hollywood game if you're not handsome on some level.
Yeah. I'm looking at the One Punch Man workout. It's 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, 10K running. I could do that.
Could you fight a monster, though?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Could you fight a giant crab man in his underpants?
My point is that that would not prepare you for fighting a crab man.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah, I'd get killed.
What about Larry David for Rick?
Oh, yeah.
He's an improv guy,
certainly. Yeah, he's an improv guy, yeah.
I don't think he'd have the patience for the rest for everything else.
For all the sci-fi.
For all the sci-fi stuff. Unless you just, unless you CGI'd him everywhere else.
Right.
Like, if you got a stunt man and CGI'd Larry David's face on and had him just do dialogue, and then in the improv scenes you just had him improv. But I don't think he'd have the patience to sit around and be like, there's some monsters from Planet Gleeble Global or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually doing another season of Curb.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. All right, do you want me to get straight into the bloody
letters?
Let's
get into the letters.
Hashtag Weekly Pod, this is from Austin Bell.
John Malkovich is Rick. Did we mention that last time?
That works?
Yeah. Mm. Man. Maybe just keep it as animated because it's an amazing show.
That's what I'm all about.
It's probably,
Austin says, what are the best worst changes from source material to film or ones that you think worked well? So stuff that worked well for source material changes and ones that didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Steel is terrible.
Correct.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, for me, is a combination of really good adaptations and really terrible adaptations.
Okay, sure.
And the reason for that is because... And I think we were pretty positive on that movie when it came out because it just throws everything at the wall. Like, the costume's great.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The death of Gwen Stacy, I think, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also got the goblin design, which is nonsense. The weird convoluted backstory, the train in the floor.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's the Sinister Six setup.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a mess. But some of it works.
Agreed.
You got any stuff that... Got any ones?
Actually, I had a conversation with somebody, and we've mentioned this so many times, but we were talking about Iron Man 3.
Right.
I had a conversation with somebody with Iron Man 3, who is somebody who wasn't a big fan of Iron Man growing up as I was.
Yeah.
And he was like, I really loved how Guy Pearce was the bad guy at the end.
Okay,
and I took it out of the equation, me being really mad that they made... Because my feeling about that character has always been, okay, revealing that the Mandarin was just a drunk actor in that movie... is the equivalent of if you were a really big fan of Batman and it turned out the Joker was just a kid's party clown.
Right.
And the real villain was just that accountant who threatened to reveal Batman's true identity in that one scene. It turned out he was the bad guy all along.
Yeah.
And I'm like, from the perspective of somebody who doesn't know anything about Iron Man, that is a really good twist.
Yeah.
Turns out I've been really mad about nothing for a really long time.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of that movie that doesn't hold
up.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
Like the grappling.
Yeah. Mm. What about... Joseph Gordon-Levitt as One Punch Man.
Yeah, I think that works. And he went bald in 50-50.
Yeah, that's true.
And he looked very bland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about Danny DeVito as Rick?
Nah.
Yeah, okay.
He could play something in that world.
Yeah.
But not
what
Rick.
What about Sam Rockwell as either Rick or One Punch Man?
He'd be a good Rick.
Yeah, okay.
He'd be a great Rick,
You want to lock in Sam Rockwell?
I'm locking that in.
Okay.
I'm rocking it in.
It's a Lockwell on Sam Rockwell as Rick. We did it.
Who suggested that?
Let's see. That was, I think a couple of people mentioned, but Sean Roney on Twitter, at Roney Sean.
Well done.
Twitter. He did it.
Well done, mate. Yeah, you bloody did
first
it.
First one I saw.
This is from Batman or at @art_Vanderlei_EH.
Great.
Thoughts on CBS scrapping MacGyver and getting James Wan to direct a new one? Will he get a better haircut?
Wait, is this actually happening?
Yes, the MacGyver pilot as the trailer we saw.
Oh, this isn't just a rumor.
Apparently this is happening.
Nice.
They're scrapping all that and they're going to redo it with James Wan's going to do the pilot, which is what I just said, I guess.
Wait, so he's not doing a movie, he's doing another pilot.
Yes.
Huh.
I like it.
Yeah.
Because did I hate that trailer? I think I did.
Yeah, there were two trailers that came out that same week.
It was the Lethal Weapon one
and
this, and I hated them both, but maybe I hated that one.
Quite liked the Lethal Weapon one.
Okay.
Against all odds, I quite liked it, but MacGyver looked very, it looked very strange and very,
crap.
Look, it's me, MacGyver, I'm doing MacGyver things. Like, it wasn't, he's a character, he develops some skills and uses his skills, and then you go, oh, it's MacGyver. It was, I'm MacGyver like the MacGyver you remember, and I'm sassy and doing MacGyver stuff. MacGyver.
Terrible haircut.
Terrible.
As well.
The worst haircut. The worst haircut imaginable. Because we can't give him a mullet.
No, you can't.
But we can't give him regular hair, because then how would you know he's MacGyver?
That's right.
If he doesn't have silly,
longish hair.
Longish hair, yeah.
Yeah, great. It's got a much better chance of being good.
Are they recasting?
I don't know. I don't think they would. Okay. It's all the wheels are in motion. They do this
because
every
I
now
say
and then.
Michael Cera for MacGyver. I don't say that. Not true.
Sam Rockwell would be a good MacGyver.
Yeah,
he's a loose unit, mate. Yeah. That bloke. Yeah, great.
Or you get Will Forte.
Who's he again?
MacGruber as MacGyver.
Yeah, we kind of got a MacGyver movie, didn't we? In that. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. This is from Humorous Hubris.
Ooh.
On Twitter. Hey, Nick and James, what do you think is a bigger waste of money? Arkham Asylum or the Weapon X program?
It's a good question. Because people keep busting out of both.
Yeah.
And they just cause trouble.
The Arkham Asylum seems to be an ongoing disaster.
Right, like, exactly.
They keep closing it and reopening. The Weapon X is kind of like a one and done. And they kind of vaguely bring it back. But whenever we see it, it's normally a flashback.
Yeah,
not always.
That's true,
they do bring it back every now and then.
Like, yeah, like it keeps it's since evolved to different weapon plus programs.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's all because
the Deadpool movie is technically a Weapon X.
That's a
X
Weapon
program.
X, yeah. And in the comic books we've had, there's a character called Weapon X,
yeah,
who has like cybernetic arms and his hands pop off and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then we had a series of other ones. Like at one point they're developing weapon candidates in like a virtual world where time moves faster.
Right.
There's a character called Phantom X, and he's a very good character. I like him.
Mm. Yeah, but is he costing anyone money? That's the question. Which is a bigger waste of money.
That's very true. Yeah, like on the scale of regular citizens being consistently murdered because the security is lax, I'm going to go with Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
They're definitely worse.
Because a lot of the time, not always, but when somebody breaks out of the Weapon X program, they burn it down and then go on to do good-ish
that's
things.
True, and there's a few years where they have to rebuild Weapon X. But Arkham Asylum, they're just like, I don't understand, they escaped again. I don't know. Anyway, I'm still the administrator of this facility for some reason. Unless they get killed.
Yeah.
And then the next most corrupt guy gets in again, right?
Yeah. Mm. And maybe he's running for mayor also or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's especially in terms of damage to the society.
Yeah.
It's definitely Arkham.
Mm.
A lot of lunatics come out of this. Okay, we've got one last thing. It's sort of a question, sort of a tweet.
What about Richard Dean Anderson as MacGyver?
You could do that.
Right?
Bring him back, mate.
Bring him back.
Have his son, little MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Taylor says, and he brought this to my attention. Did I miss the update about hashtag Weekly Planet Pod being on Google Play Music? About damn time, you dickheads. Okay, so I looked into this.
It's news to me.
We are on Google Play Music.
Oh, great.
Months ago, they opened up the beta, and I tried to sign up for it, and it won't let you because it's not. You can't do it in Australia. You can't have it.
Fantastic.
So I used like several proxies and got it in.
Yep.
But then I just forgot about it.
Okay.
And it's there. But the thing is, I can't listen to it.
Sure.
My own podcast because it's still not available in Australia.
Okay, sure.
But for whatever countries, Google Play Music is a thing. You can get it on your bloody Android or whatever.
Yeah. Spotify's rolling out podcasts as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
there's another thing I've got to bloody look into.
I know, right? See, there's a little podcast tab.
Ooh.
Your favorite podcast will live here, it says.
Will it?
I don't know.
If I get around to it. And if this, presuming this is your favorite podcast, which it almost certainly isn't.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it, I think.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay, let's thank most of the people we should thank and forget about some other people.
I agree.
You can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp. Hopefully we'll have that Independence Day commentary up
Please.
Pretty soon. I'm at Wikipedia Brown
maybe.
On Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
You should follow The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
Good stuff there.
We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
We do.
We sell some t-shirts there on Redbubble through Golden Legend and Fergal Quigley.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's another thing
said,
we do.
You said Brute and the Basilisk, didn't you?
I will. I will thank the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for our theme songs.
Yep, yep.
We've got an Amazon affiliate link somewhere buried in the episode
somewhere.
Description.
I don't know.
Yep.
We got a check from them.
Oh, did we? Great.
Yeah, I went and took it into the bank.
And they were like, You can't.
Well, I filled out, this is an interesting, but I filled out a whole form and then I need, because you know, you put it in an envelope and you put it in a little box.
Uh-huh.
And then I turn over the back and it says, if this is a non-Australian currency, don't put it in here.
I know.
And I was like, oh God. So then I had to go to the desk and be like, I have this check from Amazon for some reason. Uh-huh. They want what? And they're like, did you think about getting them, wire you the money? And I'm like, yeah, I fucking, believe me, I looked into it. Uh-huh. I didn't yell. But
you can't yell in that sort of place because they will have you thrown out.
Yeah.
Sir, calm down, sir.
So, yeah, thank you for everybody who's been
absolutely
using
that. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to buy something anyway from Amazon,
yeah,
don't go out of your way. But if you're going to buy anything, just click on that link. You get to regular Amazon. Yep. We get a piece of that. That's for some right. reason.
So when that check clears in 3 months, I'll transfer you the money.
Fantastic. Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
We haven't done the thing where we note the weird things that people buy. We should probably do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we should
that,
do that.
A couple,
yeah.
a couple episodes maybe.
Yeah. When we're running low on content.
Exactly.
But next week, Independence Day, and then we've got like Tarzan, and there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a whole bunch of stuff in a row.
We've hit the bloody...
This is the point where people start emailing and or messaging and being like, can you stop seeing movies because I don't want to see the rest of
yeah.
movies.
Okay, yeah. We'll see what we can do.
We'll see how we go.
Look, we're in the machine now.
We certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Mm.
Done.
I
think that's all.
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. fine. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Okay, right. Great.
Okay, bye everybody.
Grab that jam, you guys. See you later. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.